Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever really eaten a fried green tomato? How many of you are from the South? I've eaten them. I don't like them. But where I come from in West Virginia, if it isn't fried, it isn't cooked. So that's how you learn to eat everything. And fried green tomatoes are these breaded, fried, unripe things that were the specialty at the Whistle Stop Cafe. This is a diner in a small town, and the movie that we're talking about today mostly takes place between World War I and World War II. The very first scene is a very old car, rusted, being pulled out of a lake during the pouring rain. And the next thing we see is a man and a woman stopped in the same town, now abandoned, the Whistle Stop Cafe closed, to make a phone call because they're lost. They can't find the nursing home where Ed's aunt is, mean old aunt is. And Evelyn says, "Did you hear that?" Because she thinks that she can hear the train running on the tracks, even though it hasn't run for years. When Evelyn gets to the nursing home, she meets a woman who is a resident there, whose name is Ninny Threadgood. And she begins to have a conversation with her. And in this conversation, Ninny begins to tell her about the life of two people, Ruth Jameson and Iggy Threadgood. And she tells her about a young girl who is at a wedding, dressed in a really pretty dress, and who looks very uncomfortable in this dress, and whose brother tells her, her brother who that she loves, says, "You look beautiful," but her other brother starts making fun of her. She gets into a fight, and the next thing we see is that she's at the wedding in pants, and a shirt, suspenders, and a tie, the clothes that she's comfortable in. And this is how our story starts. There's lots and lots and lots of things that happen in this story, and it is really two stories. So I'm going to tell you some of both stories. When Iggy gets upset about her brother making fun of her, she runs away and sits in a tree. And her brother, Buddy, says to her, "Let me tell you the story about the oysters. You know, there's millions of oysters, but God made one special by putting a grain of sand in. And that grain of sand became a pearl." And Iggy says, "But what if God made a mistake?" To which Buddy answers, "God doesn't make any mistakes." But we soon see that Buddy, the love of her life, her older brother, is killed in a train accident while she and Ruth Jameson are looking on. And it changes her life forever. She becomes a recluse. She never comes home. The only person that she'll let come near her is Big George, who is one of the hired servants, one of the African-American hired servants, becomes the person who cares for her and takes care of her. And when Ninny is telling this story to Evelyn, she says, "A heart can be broken, but it keeps beating just the same." And that's what happens to Iggy. Well, Evelyn loves hearing the stories of Ruth and Iggy. Her own life is very unsatisfying. We're in about the 1980s. She's married to a man named Ed, who's pretty disrespectful and kind of ignores her mostly. And she's trying to find herself, so she takes lots and lots of classes, some of them quite a little bit disturbing, but maybe necessary. And none of them really work for her. She's trying to find her voice and her power. She's trying to find what Iggy had. She wants to be Tawanda, which is what Iggy always called herself whenever she did anything that was a little bit wild and adventurous and maybe wouldn't be approved of. Now, Ruth Jameson loses Buddy. That was the love of her life. Ruth is a good Christian woman. She comes for the summer to spend time with Iggy, to try to get her out of her shell, to get her to come home. And Iggy talks her into doing all kinds of fun things like drinking and playing poker. But she also talks her into one night getting on a train. And they're riding down the track, and when they get to the poorest part of town, Iggy starts throwing cans of food out to the people who are hungry. And Ruth says, that's not your food. That's not your food to give away. And Iggy says, well, that's church talk. Because Iggy sees a need, and she's going to give these people food. They both, in their own way, have a sense of what it means to be a good person. Iggy gives Ruth this honeycomb. She walks right into a beehive and reaches into the beehive and puts it in a jar and gives it to her as a gift. And Ruth calls her a bee charmer. She says, that's what you are. You're just an old bee charmer, someone who can do this without ever getting stung. When Buddy dies and years go by, Ruth, who tries to always do what's right, does what she thinks is expected of her, and she gets married to a man named Frank Bennett, and she leaves the town, and she leaves Iggy, and she moves out with this man and her own mother. He's not a nice man. And Iggy goes back to her old ways, lost out in the wilderness, because she cared so much for Ruth, and now she was alone again. But years later, she goes and she visits Ruth, and she sees that Ruth has a black eye, and she realizes that this man is cruel and mean and has been beating her up. And she makes her leave. Ruth says, if you care about me, you have to get out of here. Because she was in danger all the time. But after Ruth's mother dies, she writes Iggy a note. And it's got the verse from the Bible, where thou goest, I will go. And Iggy knows that this is a way of her saying, you can come and get me now. So Iggy and Big George and one of her other brothers, Julian, go off to get Ruth, who, by the way, is now pregnant. And it doesn't go well, and they get into a terrible fight, and Frank Bennett threatens them. And of course, Iggy, being the wild Tawanda she is, threatens him right back, says, if you ever hurt her again, I will kill you. Now, the story keeps being told through Ninny to Evelyn, and Evelyn feels useless and powerless and can't stop hiding candy bars and eating them. And Ninny finally explains to her, you're going through the change. You need to go get yourself some hormones and a job, because she cries all the time. And so she does, and her life begins to change a little bit. And the story keeps on going. At the Whistle Stop Cafe, Ruth has a baby boy and names him Buddy Jr. And Ruth and Iggy are always getting in trouble with some of the KKK because they eat and share food with all the people of color that surround them, the people who they consider their family. There's even a scene where the town alcoholic is trying to eat in the cafe, and he cannot eat the food because his hand is shaking so hard, and Iggy takes him outside, and she gives him a bottle of liquor, and she tells him the story about the ducks on the lake. How all those ducks sat down on that lake and the lake froze. Now, there used to be a lake over there, but the temperature dropped so fast that when those birds flew off, they took the lake with them. And now that lake's somewhere over in Georgia. It's a great story. Now, time goes on, and Frank Bennett does come back, and he does try to steal that baby boy, and somebody hits him on the head with a frying pan, and he dies, and they bury that car. And there's an interesting part when all this is happening, because Ruth says she can remember thanking God when Frank would stop beating her. And she could remember when she thanked God that her mother lived even one more day, even though that she was spitting up blood. But if Frank Bennett ever came after her child again, she wasn't going to pray. She was going to kill him. And Iggy says, "You don't have to worry. Frank Bennett will never bother you again." Because Ruth doesn't realize that Frank Bennett has been killed and has died. Now, when that truck floats up, the person who threatened him, Iggy and Big George, go on trial for his murder, even though there's no body. And you'll have to watch the movie to make your own decision about the body. I'm not talking about that part. And the preacher comes and testifies by putting his hand on a so-called Bible and says that Iggy and Big George were at a three-day church revival. They couldn't possibly have killed Frank Bennett. He had his hand on Moby Dick, and that's what he swore to. So the preacher lied. Justice was served. They weren't the ones who killed him anyway. And at the end of the story, we learn that it is Sipsy, the black maid who Frank Bennett has been beating up, who hits him on the head and kills him. Eventually, Ruth gets cancer, and with Iggy by her side, she dies. And Iggy tells Buddy Jr. that there are angels masquerading as people walking around this planet, and your mom is the greatest of them all. The story doesn't quite end there, though. Evelyn decides that Ninny Threadgood should come and live with her and Ed. Ed says, no way. She's going to move her in anyway, because this is the woman who has now become her family, who has taught her to have a voice, who has taught her that she has power in her own life. But at the end of the movie, we find out that Ninny's house has been torn down and condemned, and she gets out of the nursing home, and she's sitting on a suitcase in front of where her house used to be. Can't understand and is confused, and Evelyn comes and explains it to her and says, "You're going to come live with us." And there across the road is Ruth's grave, and next to Ruth's grave is a jar with a honeycomb in it and a note that says, "From the bee charmer." And we are left to wonder who and where is Iggy Threadgood. Wordsworth said, "There is a comfort in the strength of love. 'Twill make endurable a thing which else would overturn the brain or break the heart." This is a story about many friendships, all of them forged on the anvil of grace. The two stories of friendship and the power to heal are central to the telling of the story. It's a story about how family is formed, who becomes family even when society doesn't approve. The story shows us that no matter how difficult life can be, friendship in all its form can be an easy yoke. Jesus modeled to us always that he had special friends, men and women, that were surrounding him all the time, who made his journey easier. Even when they didn't understand him, they were there for him. I know that friends can disappoint. It's inevitable. But they that are at the core of our spiritual life, friendships that are birthed by God, is what Evelyn and Ninny had and what Ruth and Iggy had. When Ruth wrote to Iggy from the Bible, "Where thou goest, I will go," what she was saying is, "I am willing to risk everything now. I am willing to leave the life that I have and possibly live a life that is unacceptable to many others." But the town offered them grace, both of them, not law or judgment, but grace. And if we read the teachings of Jesus, we know always that they are not rooted in practicality or law. They are always rooted in grace. Karl Barth said, "We must see each person as the one for whom Christ died. Then the societal marks of acceptability will fall from our eyes." when we see every person this way, just as Iggy and Ruth did, offering hospitality and grace to all becomes second nature. I think Jesus wants us to see every single person as the one for whom he left the 99. The bee charmer and the angel created a life together, a love together. And the movie leaves their love a mystery and leaves it a little bit ambiguous, but I'm going to suggest that you read the book, because it is not the least bit ambiguous in the book. They were in love. They were lovers. They created a home for each other and in every person in that town who needed them. They went outside the social norms, not only for the life they chose with each other, but for every other person who ever needed kindness and a helping hand. And the story lived on. That, brothers and sisters, is the other message of this, is that what they chose to do when they chose to do it was still affecting people all those many years ago. Evelyn became what God created her to be because of the sacredness and the bravery of the lives of the people who came before. May we always follow Christ by embracing the love of our neighbor, and may we never forget that the choices we make today will echo throughout time to offer hope to others. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.